Okay, good morning, Rabbi. Once again, just coming back here to the regular schedule here. We're going to finish Amir Hashem today, our little Iyun into the Halachas of Shemitah, Ksaf, and Prozbol. A lot of very, very important topics today, because today, Amir Hashem, we're going to cover the gamut of issues evolving on the Prozbol in particular, which, as we've mentioned already in the past, is the key that Chazal have given us today to be able to collect monies that might be owed to us, etc., after the Shemitah year. So let's be mine a little bit in that inyan of the Prozbol. Again, those who are following along with the sheets that were given out the other day, we're covering basically today pages 4 and 5, the remaining two pages on that on those dapim. Well, the first thing we have to know about the Prozbol is that the Prozbol is based on based on Mishnayos and Shviyos, in terms of the Gemaras themselves, the Gemara Masech the Gittin, and the Flamed Vav, and the fourth Perek Masech is Gittin. But the Gemara points out a background to the concept of this thing called a Prozbol. The Gemara notes that Hillel HaZaken saw that the people were basically a little bit apprehensive and nervous about not lending money. Jews like money, that's the way we are. Everyone knows the famous joke, the Grand Canyon was formed by the Jew who lost his penny out there somewhere in the desert, and you go around looking for things. No one wants to give money away and know that you're not going to get it back. That's not the way the world works over here. So Hillel HaZaken saw that once every 7 years, you had people, plain and simple, were quite petrified about lending out their money. And that means two things. That means, number one, the aniyim, who need the loans, who need the money, people who need the help are not getting it once every 7 years. And secondly, number two, is that the ashirim, the people who have the money to lend, and Amir Hashem, we should always be on that end of the equation. The money, people who have the money to lend, who are not lending out the money. If you recall from 2 days ago, we pointed out that there's an Isser in the Torah of not lending money during the seventh year due to fear of the impending Shemitah Ksafim. So on both sides, people are losing out. The people with the money are being over in Avera Chalil V'chas. The people don't have the money, aren't able to get the money, aren't able to access those loans. Hillel HaZaken came along and was Mesakin a Takana, called a Prozbol. We'll explain the name in just one moment also, that enables people to get their money back after Shemitah. Now, I'm not so worried about lending the money out, the normal fears that anyone has about giving away their money, but the basic concept is that I should be able to rest assured that I'll be able to collect again after the Shemitah. The Gemara points out that the word Prozbol is a little bit of a funny expression. It's a combination of two different words in Lashon Aramis, a Proz, and that, again, different Rishonim explain the words a little bit differently, but Proz seems to be the word for a takana, an institution to help out the bulim, the rich people in town, not to be over the aveir of not lending out their money. Then the Gemara has a discussion, and this is going to be key a little bit to some of the halakhas that are here. The Gemara has a discussion, how could Hillel have done such a thing? If the Torah says that you're not allowed to lend, you're not allowed to collect your loans after Shemitah, how can somebody come along and say you write out a magic document, a couple of lines on a sheet of paper, and all of a sudden you're allowed to do something that the Torah itself very clearly says you're not allowed to do? So the Gemara has a debate about that topic, and there are two basic opinions that come out. One opinion, the Gemara says that the truth of the matter is you're right, Hillel really shouldn't have been able to do that, except for one major factor. Since we already know and have discussed that the Shemitah Ksafim, Bizman Hazera, today, without a Yovel year in function, the Shemitah Ksafim is only a mitzvah Isser Dirabbanan. We no longer have the Daraisa obligation to relinquish the loans. So since the Shemitah Ksafim is only Midrabbanan, Hillel HaZaken, who was one of the Chazal, one of the Rabbanan, have the right to put in a loophole in that halacha, the Rabbanan, and allow you to be able to collect the loans afterwards through the mechanism of the Prozbol. Meaning to say, had the Shemitah Ksafim been a din d'oraisa, we certainly would not have had the right to exercise the hetzer of a Prozbol. The other opinion, the Gemara comes along and says, that's not true at all. That, since we have another famous principle in halacha called hefker, bezdin hefker, that a bezdin has the right to control the money for Klal Yisrael. The bezdin wants to determine that something is hefker and ownerless, this money belongs to him, that money belongs to him, etc. They have the right to do that. A din d'oraisa, learned that from two different psukim in Gemara's in a number of places in Shas. Same thing is true over here. Hefker, bezdin hefker. If the Chazal want to come along and say, yes, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa of Shemitah Ksafim, and you're Minat Torah, not allowed to take the money from him. Joe can't collect the money from Bob. But if Chazal came along and said, you know what? But after Shemitah, we want Bob to be giving that money back to Joe. It is owed to Joe. They're allowed to do that. And therefore, Hillel is allowed to be Mesakeh in a Prozbol, even if the Shemitah Ksafim would have been a din d'oraisa. And the truth of the matter is a machlokas, Rambam and Ravid had a paskin which is the next thing on the sheet. The Rambam is of the opinion that Truzva only works bizman azeh, but there will come a time, Emir Tzashem, by the next Shemitah, that will have the Yovelim back and all that, and there will come a time when Shemitah Tzafim is in fact Minat Torah, and we won't be able to use a Truzva anymore. That's right. The Ravid sheet, though, is not that way, that the Truzva will always be in effect because of the idea of Hefker Bez. And Hefker, it's not 100% clear what the halach is. Certainly today that the Shemitah Tzafim is only Midrabanan, we certainly do use the right of the and the takana of the Truzva. What are the halachas that we have to know about the Truzva, though? So, the first and foremost, we'll go a little bit out of order over here, but the Gemara points out that the basic idea of a Truzva, in the beginning of Makos also, those are familiar with those. The basic idea of the Truzva is to be able to direct the loans. That not that you're collecting the money as a private individual, I'm collecting my money. Back there the Torah says, Lo, ye goes Esri'e, you're not allowed to go and demand the money back from your friends. But if I'm, what the Gemara describes as a Moser Shteros of the Bezdin, if you give over your loans, the rights to the loans to a Bezdin, someone else is going to collect in my stead. The way many of the Rishonim explain the idea of a Truzva. Well, again, a machlokes, we're just taking a simple shot in how a Truzva works. If I'm going to be giving over my loans, so to speak, to a Bezdin, you'll collect in my stead. The money's going to you. I'm not a private person collecting the money. That will be matter that circumvents the din d'oraisa of Shemitas Ksafim. Now, I don't want the money to go to the Bezdin. I don't really want the Bezdin to go and collect the money for me and keep it in their pockets. So there's a certain understanding, and that was the takana that Hillel made with the Truzva, that yes, the Bezdin is the official body that has the right to collect loans. They don't want to run around collecting everyone's money. I don't want them to keep my money. So Bezdin gives me a reshus. You know what? You go in my stead and you take that money. We'll let you keep it, and that's okay to do. Okay, with that background, though, we understand, obviously, that a Truzva demands a certain concept of a Bezdin. What do I mean by a certain concept of a Bezdin? So the idea is going to be as follows. There's a machlokas over here in Halacha that we'll see in a couple of minutes how that plays itself out in terms of the more practical issues of a Truzva. And again, it's a machlokas in Rishon, but we'll discuss it in terms of the machlokas as presented in Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch's opinion is that in order to have a proper Truzva, the Truzva has to be delivered. This system, the shtar that you're going to write out, has to be done in the presence of or through what's called a Bezdin Chashuv, a significant Bezdin, an important Bezdin. Three friends that you might have who are Shomri Mitzvahs, Thoromei Shabbos, who sit down and say, okay, I'll make a Truzva in front of you, that's not going to count. Three Jews alone don't work. We know, for example, right, in many, many areas in Halachas, a Bezdin of what's called Hediyotim, a Bezdin of regular people. We're going to do it on Erev Rosh Hashanah when it comes to Ataras and the Nedarim time. We take three people, three friends, as long as they're basically Shomri Mitzvahs, Shomrei Shabbos, etc., then they count as a Bezdin of three. I can be Matur Neder in front of them. Those who attempted to learn Meseches Nedarim last year might recall a little bit about the idea of a Heter Nedarim in front of a Bezdin of Hediotas, long sugyas and rhymes, etc. But that's true for a Taras Nedarim. The Shulchan Aruch says that's not true for a Truzva. A Truzva requires a Bezdin Chashuv. What does that mean? The Shulchan Aruch is very, very clear that it does not have to be the Bezdin of the greatest Dayanim in the world, the greatest Gedolim that exists in that generation. The Shulchan Aruch says you have to have three people who know the halachos of Shemitas Ksafim. I hope at least some of you qualify a little bit for that after the past 3 days over here. People who know the ins and outs of Shemitas Ksafim. They know the inyan of a Truzva. They know what that's about. And the Shulchan Aruch adds one important qualification. Himuchum Rabim Aleim Ba'osu Ha'ir, the community has appointed these people as a Bezdin. That's already enough to be called a Bezdin Chashuv. In other words, you have to have one central body, one central group of people who are going to qualify as the Bezdin of the Truzva for that area, and that's the way we would do the Truzva according to the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah, Paskins like other opinions, it says no. Kol Bezdin, any three people that's out there, they don't have to be particularly qualified, they don't have to really know what's going on, they don't have to know the ins and outs of the halachos. any three people that you're going to pull together, the same friends that you'll use for a Taurus Nedarim, and Rosh Hashanah can be the Bezdin for the Prizbal as well. And the Ramah says that that is the way we would practice Bizman Hazeh, that Shemitah's Ksafim is only Midrabanan. Any three people is going to qualify as a Bezdin. And Svardim, again, of course, they're going to follow the sheet of the Mechaber, not of the Ramah, that you have to have what was described before as a Bezdin Chashav. Okay. Now, for argument's sake, now how exactly is the Prizbal meant to be done? Again, referring back to the siman of Shemitah's Ksaf from Samach Zayin Yichol Shemish, but the Shulchan Aruch brings there in Sif Yotes the following quotation. I want to read the words and explain them a little bit so you're familiar with the text of the Prozbul that we're going to go through in a couple of minutes as well. Zeh gufo shel Prozbul, the Shulchan Aruch says. The basic idea of the Prozbul, the basic text, and this is really basically a quote out of a Mishnah Maseches Shviyas, is that you write in a document the following. Mosrani lochem ploni uploni uploni had the yonim. I'm giving over to you A, B, and C dayanim. That shekol chov sheyeshli, any chov that's owed it to me, any money that's owed to me, sheegvenu kozman sheerze, I should be able to collect that money whenever I please, not just today, but after Shemitah as well. I am retaining the right to be able to collect that money. And the dayanim, or the edim, whoever is there watching the ceremony, signs on the bottom of the prizbal, and that is the entire thing. The Ramah points out you can even verbally give over that idea to a bezin, even if you didn't put it into writing, but you say in front of them, I am passing over to you the information, and I want you to be the bezin to authorize and sanction my right to collect the money later. That also would count as a prizbal. The truth is, people are somech on that b'di'evet, but l'chatchila, we do try to write out a shtar, a document of a prizbal. Now, when it comes a little bit closer to Rosh Hashanah time, we'll provide shtaros of a prizbal, photocopies here, etc., for people to be able to use. You don't have to actually write out the thing on a sheet of paper by yourself. Nevertheless, you should be familiar with a couple of the nuances of the halachos that govern the prizbal. There's one other very, very important detail that's there, that says, and we'll explain one of the texts that you're going to see, that a prizbal can only be written, it sounds like a funny idea, but a prizbal is only allowed to be written against a loveh that has possession of karka. In other words, the person that I lent money to, that I want to collect from, that I'm writing the prizbal to authorize me to collect from, has to possess some degree of possession of karka of land. What in the world does that have to do with the prizbal and collecting money back? Rishonim explained the basic halacha as being as follows. Again, according to the more simple pshat in the Rishonim. Normally, if I'm going to lend somebody money, I want to get the money back. Okay, and I want to have some degree of security that I'm going to get the money back. And the classic collateral, the classic security that I will have against the person to know that he'll have something through which I can get my money back in the event he's not going to hand me cash or a check, is that the person has some real estate, he has some land to his name, something I can take away from him. That's the way any bank functions today, that's the way loans that are made with any large sum of money are going to be done. That's not necessarily true when you lend somebody 2 shekel, 5 shekel, etc. But you get into more serious sums, that's standard that I would want such a security. And therefore the Chazal said, we're going to take what the milsa de shchicha, the normal way of lending out money, the normal sum that you're going to care about getting back, is between me and you as good friends. We all know that it's no big deal for most of us, Baruch Hashem, to know that I won't be able to collect the 5 shekel, 10 shekel, 20 shekel after the Shemitah. That's not the end of the world. What I'm really concerned about is the larger sums of money that we've lent it to people. And therefore, Chazal only instituted the prizbal in the classic loan scenario when the loveh has a security that I should be able to collect in time of need. And we'll see how that plays in a couple of moments. Now, one more basic halach, and then we'll get to some of the shaylas. One more basic halach is you only have to write one prizbal to cover all of the loans that you might have. If you've lent money, and let's say, Emir Tashem, someday you should have a lot of money to lend out, and people, you know, you're the address to borrow money from, and there are such good people out there in the world, Kamatnas Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave them a lot of money, they understand why Kadosh Baruch Hu gave them all that money, not just for themselves and their own indulgence, but to be able to help other people, and have people lend out a lot of money to a lot of different people. One prizbal is enough. According to the letter of the law, you don't even have to list the particular names of the people that you want to collect from. The basic text of the prizbal covers your ability to be able to collect after the Shemitah. Okay. In the world of halacha lemaisa, there are a couple of issues that come up in particular today that we want to be focusing on a little bit, and how we're going to work them out. First and foremost is a discussion brought amongst the poskim. We'll start off with this one because it might be a little bit irrelevant to us. Sometimes we lend money to people, and l'chora it seems like they don't really own any real estate. They don't really own any karka. My friend in my dorm room that I might want to write a prusbel, right? Lent the person money at the beginning of this month, want to collect it, want the fun of writing out the prusbel, the right to collect my money. What does he own? What does he have to his name? Can I write out a prusbel against someone who doesn't really own anything? So Poskim have pointed out that you don't really have to mamish own in an official sense the land. You can be a renter over land. You have rights over something, some kind of real estate. That's enough to be able to qualify to have a prusbel written out. And therefore, for example, like most of us here who are in the yeshiva have a dorm room. We paid some kind of tuition to come to the yeshiva. The dorm room is quote-unquote ours for the year. Like we always tell you on the recruiting ship, it's your OG, it's your home away from home. That's your place, and we do mean that to whatever degree that's true. And therefore, the postman pointed out that a person has a dorm room, they have a place that they're living, etc. That's karka enough to be able to have a prusbel written out. You lend your friend money, you can write a prusbel knowing that you can collect that loan afterwards. We mentioned yesterday the idea that when a person deposits money in a bank, essentially what he's doing is creating a loan scenario with the bank. And that creates another issue in halacha in regards to prusbel as well. It's important to keep in mind that a prusbel only works for loans that were already in effect, that you already lent the money before the prusbel was written. Once you write a prusbel, any money that's lent after the prusbel is not covered in that first prusbel that you wrote. You would have to write out a second prusbel. That's why, okay, most people, in order to avoid any problems and issues, which is what's done standardly, try to write out their prusbel as close to Rosh Hashanah time as possible, to assume that what's the likelihood I'm going to be called to lend a large sum of money that the next day, in the next 24 hours, whatever it's going to be. Many people wait mamish till Erev Rosh Hashanah, till Ataras Nedarim time, to write out a prusbel for the concern that in case you're going to end up lending out any more money, anything should be covered in the prusbel. I guess as it gets closer and closer to the Yom Tov, so then we have less and less of a concern that I'll have to write out a new one. What happens if a person does write out a prusbel a little bit early, and then he deposits money in a bank after the prusbel? What would happen in that scenario? And again, here we have to just keep in mind the scheme that we mentioned yesterday. Since putting the money in the bank is a form of a halva over to that bank in the lumdus of how banking actually works, in theory, if you want to be able to collect that money again, a prusbel would have to be written afterwards. So in other words, Erev Rosh Hashanah, after davening, the longer davening you have in the morning, and after you write out the prusbel, that is not the best of times to try to deposit your check in the bank. You don't want to do that before you wrote out the prusbel. And again, something to keep in mind when you're scheduling your time, get to the bank before and take care of all those things that the prusbel is going to be in effect for whatever it was, any monies that's owed it to you. Another shaila that comes up in contemporary prusbel terms is when you have a couple who has two different bank accounts. A husband and wife might have a joint account, but sometimes a wife has an account on her own. We mentioned the other day that Shemitah stuff applies both to men and women, and a woman would have to write out a prusbel as well. The fact that she's a woman is not coming to shul on Erev Rosh Hashanah, etc., does not exempt her from the obligation to have a prusbel. What's classically done is, and again, I know this is not a gaga to most of you just quite yet, who don't have, to all of you sitting in the room who aren't yet married, but what's classically done is that the husband will discuss with his wife before, and yes, I'm going to write out a prusbel. She'll authorize him to include her in the prusbel. She'll either be named on his, or he'll write out a second one, a separate one for her, but that has to be taken into account. A wife has to have a prusbel as well, assuming she has her own cheshbonot in a bank, etc. Another shaila, and again, this might be relevant to you here in Eretz Yisrael right now as well, is when you have the malva and the lova being in two different time zones, right? Which you can have a situation where, and so over here in Eretz Yisrael, we're 7 hours ahead of the United States of America. The sun is going to set, dark is going to fall, Rosh Hashanah is going to come this year for us 7 hours before anyone back in the States. Shemitah Ksafim begins over here earlier than it will for people in America, for people in the States. So what would happen in the following scenario? This can go in two different directions. Obviously over here, we have to make sure to have the prusbel written before Rosh Hashanah. You can't be writing it out on Yom Tov and all of that. But let's say you have someone back in America who has, let's say, lent you money, okay, make the case like that, lend you money, and you want to take advantage of the fact that, hey, you know what, maybe let's say you have a cheshbon, you figure out that the guy didn't write the prusbel yet, Rosh Hashanah began over here, and maybe you're off, Rosh Hashanah happened, it's Rosh Hashanah for you, Shemitah's Ksafim has began on your times and on your turf, and he didn't write out a prusbel. Do you owe him any money? Even if he writes out that prusbel, because you've already entered into the zone of the Shemitah's Ksafim. And the poskim have pointed out that some of them are of the opinion that none of this makes a difference. Whenever the prusbel is written, the malva has the right to collect his money. Other poskim are a little bit more apprehensive about that and said, no, you should make sure to have your prusbel written before the Shemitah's Ksafim begins in the other time zone. Again, like we pointed out yesterday, when we're dealing with Shemitah's Ksafim, the Rabbanan Bizman Ezem, one certainly has the right to take the more lenient opinion. If you wrote out a prusbel, even though the other person might have entered into Rosh Hashanah already, you would have the right to collect the money. L'chatzchila might be better, though, to take that into account if you're already trying to do things in the most appropriate of ways. In the next couple, no, watch, I'm handing up a clock back there. In the next couple of minutes, we're going to try quickly to explain the shtar of the prusbel, what it is, with three examples of how a prusbel is written, and we'll let you ask the shaylas after we're done what exactly you're supposed to do and how the prusbel is supposed to be done halacha lamaisa out of these three yashtaras. Okay, but let's go back to the scene of the prusbel. What's supposed to be happening, if you follow what we're describing today, to summarize and put it into practical terms, let's call it Erev Rosh Hashanah time before Rosh Hashanah begins, you're going to want to have a shtar that you're going to sign your name. There are going to be three dayanim that are going to sign on the shtar, verifying again, even without a bezdin chashev, that the prusbel has been presented in front of them. You'll have that shtar. Technically speaking, if you lose it afterwards, you're allowed to collect your money anyway. But the shtar prusbel has to be written out, and we should try to save over that shtar. Now, what's supposed to be written inside that prusbel? Okay? The three different shtaros that float around today, reflecting a couple of the different issues that we already had to discuss this morning. The classic, shortest version of a prusbel, the first thing that's printed on page 5, is a direct quote out of the Shulchan Aruch. I'm giving over in front of you X, Y, and Z, Dayanim, name the three people that I want to collect my loans whenever I want. Nothing more, nothing less, straight in, straight out, nice and simple. That was the shtar prusbel written by the Chazon Ish, slightly after the Chazon Ish's time, but Moshe Feinstein gets on one of his tshuvas writes that was the whole nusach that he used, the quite straight, simple nusach presented there in the Shulchan Aruch. Now, other poskim felt that there should be other things that are included in the prusbel as well, even though, yes, that's the basic nusach, and it certainly works, but that other things should be brought as well. There's a nusach of the prusbel quoted by the Beis Yosef, who brings a slightly longer version. The longer version we have prusbels of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and others who use the slightly longer document. The truth is that's the more popular one that most of you will encounter today as well, which basically includes some of the details of the halachos. Not only do I want to retain the right to be able to collect the loan, but I write in the prusbel that since I know that I can only collect loans, I can only collect money from people who own karka, okay, so I'm putting a stipulation into my prusbel that if the lobit doesn't have karka to his name, I'm going to be giving him some of mine so that I should be able to collect the money from him. I would point that out before, I don't own any land, I'm a guy sitting here in Beit Meir with nothing to my name, that's true, but you have a dorm room, your dorm rooms, even on the OJ standards, are bigger than Dalet Amos, most of the rooms at least. And one or two of the main dorm rooms are a little bit, the caravans may be a little bit of pushing it in some of the rooms in there, but if I have a room that's a regular sized room, I can be makna a section of that, the dorm room, to the other person, and that's the nusach that's written in the standard prusbel, and then I'd be able to collect the monies out from him. Still later than that, the Rav Eliyashiv Shlita had pointed out a different nusach of a prusbel that I'm not sure if he authored it, but he popularized it, and many people here in Eretz Yisrael, in particular, user of the Yashuv Nusach of the Prusbel, which said as follows. We mentioned before that there's a machlokas, whether or not the Prusbel has to be done in front of a regular Bezdin or a Bezdin Chashuv, right? A Chashuv Bezdin. Even though we paskin like the Ramah that you can use any three people to write out the Prusbel, Rav Yashuv had said you can accomplish both by writing out a very interesting Nusach. You take your three friends, they're in shul on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and they're the Dayanim that are signing on the Prusbel. But they also include in the Nusach to say that we're not necessarily the final authority over the Prozbul, but there's a bezin of three that you don't even have to be standing in front of. And again, Erev Rosh Hashanah, all the names of people who agreed to do this, Rav Eliyashiv and others will agree to have their names used on a Prozbul. And you can say, I'm passing over to my loan student. Again, I'm making up three names that totally further to the Rambam, the Ravid, and the Rashba, three great Dayanim. Again, they have to be contemporary people, but I'm just using a random example. And then in the Shtar itself, it says, this person is giving over his debt to the Bezdin Chashiv of his time, the Rambam, the Rashba, and the Ravid. And we, the following three Dayanim, Hediotim, we, the following regular Dayanim, are fixing our names, and we saw the process. And either way, you're covered. You don't have to go to the three Chashiv Dayanim. You can just include their names in the Prozbul, and all the different opinions of how to write the Prozbul are going to be satisfied like that. And again, anyone who has any shailas about what exactly to do, which star to be used, obviously we'll provide you with the basic ones that are okay. If a person wants to be quote-unquote a little bit more sticky and use the other versions of the Prozbulim, certainly that's somewhat equal. You can do that at your own risk and pleasure and leisure as well. Those are the basics of the halachos of a Prozbul that are there, certainly the ones that we need to know in a halacha l'maisa sense. And again, Emir Tashem, we shall have these chus this year to be mekayim a very, very rare mitzvah, kehel chasa, yashakach.